Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Flipper Talks. I'm your host for today's episode. My name is Shannon Dakin and I'm a proud member of the Flipper Board. There's a lot of information coming at lawyers currently about the AML-CTF legislation. That's the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorism Financing Act 2006. And many family lawyers have questions about compliance, what they need to know and do. Today, we're lucky to be joined by Jeff Smith from Grant Thornton to help navigate these issues. Jeff Smith is a senior lawyer with over 15 years' experience providing advice and guidance on anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing. More recently, Jeff has worked closely with local law and accounting firms, supporting practitioners as they prepare for Australia's expanded AML-CTF regime. Her work includes helping firms identify where they provide designated services, developing fit-for-purpose MLTF risk assessments, and designing robust AML-CTF policies, procedures, systems, and controls that work in practice. Jess has been actively involved in regulatory reform and industry education. She worked with AUSTRAC, Australia's anti-money laundering regulator, to support the development of the AML-CTF starter kits for lawyers, and has partnered with several state-based law societies and the College of Law to develop practical guidance for practitioners. Most recently, she presented at the Queensland Law Society Symposium 2026, sharing insights on how lawyers can effectively use AUSTRAC starter kits in their practices. Jess, thanks so much for joining us and welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited about this chat.
Yes, so am I. I think it's really topical for everyone that's listening. As I said, there's just so much coming at us from everywhere. It's fantastic to have a targeted chat with someone of your expertise. So thank you. Let's start with the basics and let's start from scratch. And for those that may be not so familiar with these issues, what is the AML-CTF Act and why is it relevant to lawyers?
Sure. So at its core, this act is designed to protect the financial system from being exploited by criminals and terrorists. Traditionally, this regime was applied to banks, bookkeepers, betting agencies, and other financial services businesses. And those entities were designed to understand who their customers were, assess the money laundering and terrorism financing risk they pose, monitor their transactions, and then report any suspicious activity to AUSTRAC. Now, this is relevant to lawyers because under what is known as the Tranche 2 reforms, certain legal services will become regulated, and they're becoming regulated because AUSTRAC, who is the regulator of the AML-CTF Act, mm-hmm. consider that they would be vulnerable to misuse. So if we take a step back, lawyers, accountants, real estate agents have traditionally escaped being covered by the Australian anti-money laundering legislation. Okay. If you go overseas, New Zealand, Europe, America, these professions are captured. And the reason they're captured is because they are often seen as being unwittingly gateways for criminals to launder funds. The international regulator of anti-money laundering is called the Financial Action Task Force. And they did an audit of Australia a little while ago. And basically, we got a report card that said needs improvement.
Okay.
And along with that report card was a series of recommendations. One of those recommendations was, hey, you need to regulate lawyers. So we are due for our next audit from FATF. And that report card must say getting better. If it doesn't say getting better, then Australia could become subject to economic sanctions and we could become grey-listed. So fun fact, Australia is, I think, the only developed nation that hasn't captured lawyers and other professionals in its AML legislation. So the idea is these laws are passed, And they come into effect on the 1st of July. FATF come in to do the audit of Australia at the end of July. So the idea is they come in and they see that we are making improvements and we have actioned their recommendations.
Okay. And so are family lawyers even in the scope of the AML-CTF Act? For example, when does the engagement tip over into a designated service under the regime?
So a couple of things on that. If you read the explanatory memorandum to the Act, if you're a nerd like me, you will see commentary to the effect of typical activities done by family lawyers or wills and estate practitioners are not designed to be captured. And I think that reflects the fact that it is not the practice area itself that is being captured by anti-money laundering counter-terrorism legislation. It is the activities in which the practitioner does that may or may not be captured in that practice area. So AUSTRAC make it very clear they're not trying to regulate the provision of legal advice or advocacy on behalf of our client. What they are trying to regulate is when practitioners help facilitate certain transactions. So if we look at a timing perspective, when does a family law matter tip over into a designated service? We need to look at what activities are being done either before an order of the court is received or after. So for example, if you are affecting a property transfer or transfer of funds pursuant to a court order, these would not be captured under AML legislation. However, if you're doing some preparation work that occurs before those court orders, whether you're helping arrange the sale of a property or something like that, that will be captured.
Okay. All right. So it's less about the actual area of the law and more about the type of activity the lawyer is performing.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. All righty. And to get into more specifics, many family lawyers are asking, if we have a trust account that's used for settlements or to receive interim payments, is that captured by the AML-CTF Act?
So the short answer is merely having a trust account by itself does not automatically mean you're captured by the AML-CTF Act.
Okay.
And I think that's an important thing to note because that's one of the original sort of presumptions that was out there. What matters is why the money is being received and what you're doing with it. So, for example, most family law practices, they use their trust accounts in the traditional way to hold settlement proceeds, to receive interim payments or funds pursuant to court orders. They may pay mediators or expert witnesses or court filing fees out of those funds. Mm-hmm. All of those activities are not regulated by the AML-CTF Act. They're not designated services, and family lawyers doing those activities would not be caught. However, if you receive funds into the trust account where you're holding the proceeds of a sale or purchase of a property, or you're holding funds in preparation for a trust to be set up, that is when that will be captured by the anti-money laundering counter-terrorism legislation.
Okay, and I think that's a really useful distinction for people that are listening today to try and figure out what might be tipping over and what might not be caught within the scope. And family lawyers also regularly deal with property transfers, obviously, after separation. When do those transactions start to look like regulated services?
Sure. So, again, it depends on the timing of the transaction. So, property transfers that occur because of a court order, consent order, or binding financial agreement, that's typically when family law matters get involved with property. So, the property transfers under a deed of family arrangement without a court order, they are captured by the Anti-Money Laundering Act.
Okay.
So, anything before or without a court order would be captured. Anything that is done pursuant to a court order would not be captured.
Okay. And so what is some work that a family lawyer may perform that you consider might be captured by the AML-CTF Act?
See, this is where it's quite interesting because I am of the view, and this is supported by the explanatory memorandum, that most of the work is not captured.
Mm-hmm.
Where it would be captured is, and I understand this is probably on the periphery of what traditional family law matters involve. So if you engage in matters where you establish a trust or transfer the control of trusts, if you are directly involved in the property transfers as a result of the BFA, so being directly involved meaning helping facilitate that property transfer, doing the searches, preparing the settlement statements, being involved in the conveyancing, that is when your work would be captured. And also, like we mentioned before, holding the sale proceeds or funds for a customer on escrow. Now, one thing also to be aware of is some practitioners may have authority over their customers' bank accounts or make payments from that account. That is also captured by the AML-CTF Act.
Okay. And I think that there's some very clear examples, and that's going to be very helpful for a lot of people listening today. If listeners do have more questions, how can they reach out to you?
Sure. So I'm happy if you'd like to reach out to me on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can get in touch and have a bit more of a chat.
Wonderful. So just search up Jess Smith from Grant Thornton, and you can get in touch that way.
Yep, I think my name on LinkedIn is slightly more professional. Okay. I go by Jessica Smith.
Jessica Smith. So everyone, make sure that you search that up correctly. Jess, thanks so much for your expertise and your guidance, helping us family lawyers through what can often be a maze of information that's coming at us at the moment. And if our listeners need more targeted advice, please get in touch with Jess and she can point you in the right direction and get you that advice as well. Thanks so much, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed. Whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.